Good afternoon. I'm Scoot in for Spud. Spud will be back tomorrow. Todd Manassas will be doing the Scoot Show tonight, and we'll be back on the Scoot Show tomorrow night and Friday night. Rolling Stone magazine is being blasted for putting what appears to be a rock star type picture on the cover of their magazine of the Boston bombing suspect. Is this giving him rock star status? That's our WWL Pretty Jaguar opinion poll. Right now, 81% say yes, it is, and 19% say no, it isn't. We'll talk more about this coming up in the next hour. You can give us your opinion to our poll by going to our website, WWL.com. We also have this up on our Facebook page. If you haven't seen the picture of the Boston bombing suspect on the cover of the Rolling Stone, he looks like a rock star. But is that bad, or is it showing him for who he is? And what does a terrorist look like? Maybe we need to recognize people who are terrorists who maybe don't look like terrorists. But is it wrong for Rolling Stone to do that? If you want to see the picture, go to our Facebook page, WWL Radio. And you can also comment. Here's a comment from Mitch. It might be an attempt for this magazine to be relevant again. Nobody buys that crap. Here's a comment from Jerry, and she says, what does this say about their mindset? Scary, I'd say. Who honors a murdering terrorist? And again, this is on our Facebook page at WWL. We'll share more of those comments and post in just a little while. A 6-year-old black girl found dead in Harvey. We talked about this on the show yesterday. She's been missing since Friday. The suspect has now admitted that he killed her, and he is black. Is it fair to ask if Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson would be here if the suspect was white? And is that part of an honest conversation about race relations? Also, there's been a lot of talk since the Zimmerman trial, even though they did not use the Stand Your Ground law in Florida. There's been a lot of talk about Stand Your Ground laws. Are Stand Your Ground laws good or bad for America? That's the title of the Scoot blog today. It's on our website at WWL.com. Read it. You may agree or disagree. Comment on it if you like. We'll share some of those comments later. And you can share it as well. Dave Newman is with Concealed Carry NOLA, an NRA-certified pistol instructor and registered with Louisiana State Police. He's in our studio. Dave, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dave, let's try to be as simple as we can with understanding the stand your ground type laws. And they're a little bit different in every state. But essentially, there have always been laws on the books that allow people to use deadly force against an intruder or to protect property. But the Stand Your Ground laws take away the obligation to retreat if retreat is possible. Is that correct?
As far as being on the street or not on your property, that's what the whole point of the Stand Your Ground law was, to remove the duty to retreat when you were not on your property, but yet you were in a space where you legally had the right to be.
Are Stand Your Ground laws good? I mean, from somebody who trains people to use guns in the right way, are Stand Your Ground laws good or bad? Are they giving those people who might have a gun happy mentality, is it giving them too much of an excuse to use a gun in a situation where maybe they wouldn't have to?
Well, personally, I'm for Stand Your Ground laws in general. Laws are always subject to interpretation. And if you don't understand the law for what it really means, then you may interpret it to mean something else. And you may, as you said, use it inappropriately. But personally, I find I'm for it because of people like my wife, who's she's small. She's 5'2", maybe 107 pounds soaking wet. Somebody's not going to attack me. I'm a big guy. The likelihood of somebody trying to attack me is much lower than them attacking her on the street. And I wouldn't want her to have the duty to retreat prior to using force to defend herself because of her size, mainly.
There was somebody in upper management here who told me after I was attacked that said that, you know, Scoot, your size, your stature may have made you an easy target, but it may have saved your life because of your size. They didn't feel like they had to kill you or hurt you to get what they wanted.
That may be true or not true. Personally, I find that things are a lot different now than when I was coming up. I mean, when I was younger, you could get in a fist fight with somebody and drink a beer with them the next day. But nowadays, you can't always count on acquiescing to the person that's attacking you to save your life. In your case, it may have worked out that way. I can't say that it's a rule. Because we can't just put lump everything in one bag and say that that's going to be the way it happens every time.
You know, Dave, I've often talked about this theory that we have become such a society that demands instant gratification in every aspect of our lives that when there is an argument or a confrontation, years ago, people were taught to resolve their differences or to work through those differences or to accept those differences. Now it seems to me that there's instant gratification to eliminate the person that is causing the confrontation or the problem. And quite often that's, I think, a motivation for using a gun to kill somebody.
Well, I don't know what to say to that, because personally, a gun is not what you should use to settle an argument.
Well, certainly. But undoubtedly,
it's a weapon of last resort. The only time that lethal force is authorized is when you're in fear of death or a grave bodily harm, and the threat is immediate and unavoidable, and that's the way the law reads.
But so often we hear about people who were killed because somebody got in an argument, they went home and got a gun, or somebody got in an argument and they pulled out a gun. I realize that that's a theory, and we could talk about that on another show. Dave, as somebody who trains people to use guns, what's the first thing you tell somebody?
Well, I try to make it apparent to them, like I just said, that the firearm is a weapon of last resort. And a majority of what I teach, a big part of it, not maybe a majority, but a big portion of it, is how to avoid confrontation, how to de-escalate situations, how to use communication to solve problems as opposed to a firearm or even any other force. A lot of situations can be avoided by just using, you know, the way you handle yourself. Why would you go towards something that is perceived to be a threat? In this case, that is the subject mainly of why we're sitting here. I feel that both men made the same mistake of going toward what they perceived to be a threat. If neither one of them did that, we would have never heard of either one of them. Trayvon would be alive, and George would not have had to go through a trial. Now, even though he was found not guilty or acquitted, it still is a hell of an ordeal to go through, and I don't recommend it for anyone. So if you are going to use awareness as self-defense tool number one, which I preach in my classes, that you should be aware of your surroundings and anything that you perceive to be a threat. If the threat is north, go south. So, you know, call 911 and let the police deal with it.
But in a case of somebody, and I'm not saying this of everybody, but in all the stories that I hear about that involve people who use guns to kill or to settle an argument, self-defense or not, in many of these, I get the impression that it is the gun that gives somebody the courage to be in a situation they wouldn't ordinarily be in. And that's the wrong reason to own a gun.
I agree with you. In my class, we talk about having the proper knowledge, skills, and attitude to own a firearm. And the last part is probably the most important. I mean, we can teach anyone how to use it, physically hit the target and things like that, but having the right attitude is very key.
I'm thinking about a case, I don't remember where this happened, but not long ago on the show, I was talking about a gentleman who was criticizing, he was pumping gas, and he was criticizing some teenagers in a car on the other side of the island, and he was complaining, and they said something back to him. He went to his car and got his gun, fired into the car, injured a couple of the teens, and claimed that his life was threatened. So to me, it seems like that's a guy who might not have confronted those teens if he didn't have a gun waiting for him in his car, and that wouldn't be the right way to use a gun.
I agree with you.
Now, when we come back, I want to ask you, what is your typical student like? And also, Dave, I want to ask you if you've ever told somebody, you know, I don't really think you're the right type of person to own a gun. We're talking to Dave Newman. He's with Concealed Carry NOLA. He's a firearm instructor, NRA certified pistol instructor, and registered with Louisiana State Police. Yesterday, Attorney General Eric Holder was speaking to an NAACP meeting, and he said stand your ground laws may encourage violence and may undermine public safety. Essentially, a stand your ground law expands the law beyond just the use of deadly force when you feel like you're threatened against an intruder or to protect your life and property. Stand your ground laws in 22 states around the country say you don't have to retreat if retreat is possible. Dave Newman is with us. He's a firearms instructor with Concealed Carry NOLA, certified also with and registered with the Louisiana State Police. Dave is in favor of stand your ground laws, but Dave also talks about retreating and not moving toward danger if you see a dangerous situation, even if you have a gun.
Right. You got to realize if you're carrying a firearm, even for it's for self-defense. It's a weapon of last resort. And it's important to realize that wherever you go, there's going to be a firearm there because you brought it. So why put yourself in a situation where you may be compromising the use of that firearm? Say, you know, if you go towards something that's a threat and then all of a sudden it becomes a fist fight, now that person could grab that gun and use it against you, and even if he didn't have a firearm. So you're putting yourself in a situation where even your own gun might wind up being your own demise because of your actions.
Today, Dave, who is your typical student? Give me a stereotype of your typical student, and have you seen the types of students change over the years?
Well, I mean, it's a variety of people. I mean, in ages as well as walks of life. It's mainly, I find a lot more lately, it's people are afraid of certain things in their area. I get a lot of elderly folks in particular that say they're afraid to even walk their dog in their neighborhood because there's an element up the street, say someone that's renting a house and they have people coming in all hours of the night. They think they might be doing drugs or selling drugs or something. And they feel afraid to even walk in their own neighborhood. So they want to feel a little bit more safer by having some way to defend themselves because they realize that they're not young enough to deal with a confrontation fist to fist, as I would say, as far as that level of force.
And do you feel like those older individuals are prepared and ready to use the gun if they need it?
Boy, that's an interesting question. I find that a lot of people have the misconception that, oh, it's simple and that, all I have to do is point the gun and pull the trigger and they believe that they're ready. But part of what I do as LANYAP in my classes is prove to them that they will need further training even after they get their concealed weapon. Because why would you take one class, say even a cooking class, and expect to be Emeril Lagasse? I mean, why would you take one Spanish class and expect to be able to speak Spanish fluently?
That's a great point.
But yet people will take one firearms class and expect to be ready to defend their lives, and they're not ready.
What's the makeup of the class, male, female, white, black, Hispanic?
A lot of women lately have been getting more and more women. I think that's the one area I could see a rise on. More women getting concealed weapons permits. As far as ethnicities, it's a variety. I would say it's pretty equal across the board.
If you want to join our show this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, toll free, 866-889-0870. Text number is 870-870. From Ken or Marvin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, how you doing? How you making out, guy?
Good.
Yeah, I know a kid that I don't think he's responsible at all for his camera firearm. You know, he sits around in the house. He plays games. You know, the dealer shooting games that they have on TV. And, you know, he goes to the shooting range and then he purchases a gun. It's like, man, I told his mom, I said, you sure that he's responsible for a gun? Yeah, I was like, what did he ever do to be responsible for a firearm? Never had a fight. Just go to school. Stays inside. You know, I'm like, no, he's not responsible for a gun. They have a gun.
Well, Marvin, you know, it's scary when people who have guns shouldn't have guns.
Yeah, you know, you've never been in a confrontation with nobody. You're a kid, that very nice kid, very smart. You know, but you never got in a fight before. You've never been in the streets out here, knowing what it's like. And you want a firearm? You better know what a firearm can do.
Yeah. Marvin, I understand, and, you know, I guess all we can do is say keep an eye on that guy. But, you know, I mean, Dave, if he legally has the gun, it's not the job of a citizen to say you can't own the gun or to report somebody who legally owns a gun.
Right. I mean, it's his right to have a gun, but until he proves otherwise.
Yeah. From New Orleans, Vance, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I guess in regards to listening to everything, I just wanted to know, in terms of the interpretation of fear, it's usually very different from different people in terms of what threatens a person. And I think that when it gets to the side of having to have a case where you're dealing with the stand your ground law, are we going to run into problems where the interpretation of what is a threat and what is someone afraid of and the degree of that fear and that threat could be the basis for actually being able to defend themselves.
And that's why some things go to court. Now, you know, one of the controversies concerning George Zimmerman was the police department didn't find reason to charge him in the beginning, and then there may have been political pressure to charge him, so that's why that became a controversy. But, you know, Dave, I like what you say about, you know, you can own a gun, but there's a lot of responsibility that goes along with that, and you have to have the right attitude and mentality. And unfortunately, not everybody who owns a gun gives gun owners a good image.
That's true. You know, it's always, you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of times in the media, not all media is bad, don't get me wrong, but if it bleeds, it leads, as they say, is what they say. The only time we hear about the use of firearms is when it's a negative, usually.
All right, from Pensacola, Robert, you're on WWL.
Yes, I was calling a statement. But, I think everybody should take the concealed weapons course, you know. I think everybody should be go through the process and get proper training.
Would you make exceptions for people who are on certain medications or people who deal with depression?
No. With people like that people like that shouldn't. You know, it all depends. They should be evaluated.
Yeah, so you would make exceptions for those. You would say those people, yes. there's some people who shouldn't have a gun.
Well, yes. But this is what I'm getting at, is stand your ground laws. People need to understand it. And also, when they go to get the permits and stuff, because I run a business, and my business has been broken into several times. And here about 3 years ago, I had hold a gun on four of them that broke into my business. And I had to fire up in the air to show them that I was in business until the law got there. But I think that if you get a concealed weapons license, they should go. I'm a member of the NRA. They should go and get proper training. And they should have to go and, you know.
If we're supposed to understand the rules and the laws when it comes to driving in order to get a driver's license, why wouldn't we have to learn the laws, including stand your ground when it comes to owning a gun?
Exactly.
And Robert, as a business owner, did anything come of this? You didn't, you weren't charged with anything, were you?
No, because I was all legal. I was on my property and it was at 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, my business got broke into.
Yeah, and that's a pretty definite situation where you're defending your property. Robert, I'm glad go ahead.
Yeah, but also, you know what I mean? I fired up in the air to prove that I had a gun, and I held a gun on until the law got there. But the thing about it is people, they need to know exactly word for word what stand your ground means. Because you can't go out, you just can't go out here and get into it at a gas pump and shoot into a car, or you can't shoot at somebody, not unless you're absolutely in fear for your life.
Robert, you're right about that. I'm glad things turned out okay for you. There's a case in Texas of a retired Houston firefighter who went to his neighbor's house, shot and killed her, claimed stand your ground. It's the Castle Doctrine in Texas. He's in prison for 40 years because of what he did. And there's another case in Texas of a guy who gunned down somebody, shot somebody, who stole $20.29 from a tip jar at a taco truck. But he ran him down and claimed, stand your ground. Just because you have a gun and have a right to have a gun and have a gun legally doesn't mean you have a right to use it in every case. And it's very important to know when and how to use a gun. Dave Newman is with Concealed Carry NOLA. He's an NRA certified pistol instructor registered with Louisiana State Police. He is live in our studio, and we're continuing our conversation about the Stand Your Ground laws. And Dave, I would think that in addition to getting your permit, there are people who definitely need to understand the laws that go along with that, because with every right comes responsibility.
That's right. It's just as important to know when to shoot as how to shoot. I mean, a lot of people can know how to shoot, but knowing what laws pertain to the use of deadly force is more important to me.
Yeah. From Marrero, Noah, you're on WWL.
Hi.
Hi.
I am very upset with the caller, Robert. He is wrong. You never, ever fire a warning shot. I have been carrying since before CCWPs were issued. I have been carrying and having a CCWP since they're issued. In fact, I just did my fifth renewal, and I was trained. You pull that weapon, either you plan on using it or not, but you never, ever fire a warning shot. Had I been an officer on scene, Robert's butt would have been in jail.
Noah, I'm glad you called. Dave, it's always been my understanding that if you take out a gun, you're not supposed to use it to scare people. Now, in an ideal world, if a warning shot works, it's better than killing somebody, but you do have to be prepared to shoot to kill.
Yeah, when you pull out a firearm, you're basically authorizing the person that you draw that firearm on to use lethal force against you, because they have the right to meet force with force. And I tend to agree with the caller. I really do.
And from Harahan, Sean, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoop. How am I doing? First of all, I just have a question. That when that stand your ground means stand your ground, if you're walking, Scoop, down the sidewalk, and someone approaches you and impedes you or stops you from going in the direction you wish to go in, well, is that technically an arrest? I mean, an arrest needs to stop. So at what point do you enforce, I'm going to stand my ground? Is it then? Or do they have to physically touch you or threaten you?
I'm trying to understand exactly your question. I mean, you're saying just somebody stands in front of you? That's it?
Well, no. All right.
I mean, we'd have to get more information than that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm on my way to work. And I'm using the sidewalk to get to my job. And on my way there, someone makes me stop, and for some reason that they're concerned with, don't stop. Stop, I want to ask you a question, or stop, I want to, you can't go this way. You're on the sidewalk anyway. They stop you for whatever reason they feel like is, you know, they need to stop you. You may not feel like they have that right. They're not a official, and they're not dressed as an official of the law. So at what point is your civil right to walk down the sidewalk and people, and when should you enforce the right to walk this way?
Well, but Sean, I would think that just because somebody is challenging you and questioning you, that's a and even maybe violating your rights, that certainly doesn't mean you can shoot and kill them. Shooting and killing somebody is about self-defense. Yeah, you can't say, get out of my way or I'll kill you.
No, I understand that. Scoot, didn't you have an incident along my own way to work?
Yeah.
Okay, did the perpetrator come up from behind you or in front of you?
No, from in front.
From in front.
Yeah.
If you had a weapon, at what point did you, if you had to use that weapon, would you declare that he was an aggressor? Did you have to look at him as an aggressor, or do you wait till you were hit?
I've talked about this. They stopped me. I was walking to work, and they stopped me. There was four of them. So, I appreciate the call. And Dave, you can reinforce this, but it's my understanding that because of the fact that there was four of them and one of me, that it would have been easier for me to claim self-defense and use a gun than it would be for somebody in a one-on-one situation.
Definitely, because we're talking about what we call a disparity of force. Four on one is a disparity of force. To think that you can defend yourself against four people is an unreasonable expectation.
Yeah, but if somebody, this is where some Americans, and I use the word some, this is where some Americans become what I think is too gun happy. Somebody stops me. Somebody impedes my progress on a sidewalk. At no point should you think about taking out a gun at that point just because they stop you. What they're doing may be wrong, and anybody has a right to ask anybody a question, I guess.
Right.
But what they're doing may be wrong, but that's not a point to just pull out a gun and shoot somebody.
No, it's not. I mean, you can question their ability to stop you, their authority to do so, or just ignore them and cross the street is probably a better move, and see if they try to stop you again. I mean, that would be a different tactic I would use.
There's a lot that doesn't seem to be understood by everybody when it comes to stand your ground laws. We've got a few more minutes with Dave Newman with Concealed Carry NOLA, an NRA-certified pistol instructor registered with Louisiana State Police. Stand your ground laws have gotten a lot of attention since the shooting of Trayvon Martin, even though George Zimmerman's defense did not specifically use Florida's stand your ground law. This idea that you can defend yourself is getting a lot of attention because there are laws on the books that allow you to use deadly force to defend yourself and protect your life and property against intruders. But maybe intruders is the key word. What stand your ground laws in general have done is taken away the responsibility to retreat if there's a chance to retreat. Dave Newman is in our studio. He is a firearms instructor with Concealed Carry NOLA. And also an NRA-registered pistol instructor. There was a case in Texas, and I've talked about this on the show before. It happened in 2007. The Castle Doctrine in Texas is similar to the Stand Your Ground law in other states. By the way, we have a Stand Your Ground law here in Louisiana, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we're among the 22 states that has this law.
I believe it's more than 22, though.
Well, last I
think
read
it's
it
above 30. That's what I saw on the website.
So this guy in Texas gets in an argument with a neighbor, and he goes to her house, gets into an argument. He's videotaping the whole thing. At one point, he says, I'm standing my ground. My life is in danger now. These people are going to try to kill me. So it sounds like he was setting up his own defense when he was making this video. He shot and killed her and injured two males who were with her. His self-defense was one of the males lunged at him, and he felt like his life was in danger. It's kind of hard to demonstrate that it's self-defense when you go to somebody else's property.
Right, and that's why I feel like it's important that you use the criteria of preclusion, which is means you should have done everything within your power to have avoided using deadly force in the first place, so that it's not questionable, was it, you know, your force reasonable?
And then there's a case, and again, this is where some people seem to have the wrong idea about stand your ground. There's another case in Texas where $20.29 was stolen from a tip jar at a Houston taco truck. A 24-year-old was shot and killed. The owner of the taco truck ran him down when he tried to escape with the cash and fired into the getaway car, hitting him in the back and killing him, and it was ruled justifiable homicide. That could have gone either way.
Yeah, I'd have to read more about that case. I'm not familiar with that one. I am familiar with the fireman case. I think he had his fears were not reasonable in that case.
From Gulfport, Buddy, you're on WWL.
Yeah, thank you. Quick question for Dave. Just curious on his thoughts on the restrictions that are placed on concealed carry permit holders in the state of Louisiana.
Could you be more specific?
Well, I mean, the restrictions as far as not being able to carry in certain places, alcohol establishments, sporting events, schools, things of that sort. Do you feel that the restrictions are there too many restrictions, and should some of those be lifted?
I think some of them should be lifted, but we'd have to go into detail on each one of them. Recently, there was a bill that was attempted to be passed to clear up the conflict about alcohol beverage outlets between Class A and Class B. In other words, carrying in a restaurant, which is Class B, versus Class A, which is a bar. And I think that we should be able to carry in a restaurant. So the bill was shot down, and from what I understand, it was mainly due to open carry people being upset about that they weren't included. So. But I agree with you. Some of them should be changed. Some of them, I understand why they're in place.
Yes, I understand for some of them. But as a career law enforcement officer, I'm asked all the time, you know, by people considering a concealed permit, concealed carry permit. And I tell them, you know, in the state of Louisiana, you can carry your weapon in your car. Your car is an extension of your home. And I, quite honestly, I tell them I really don't think it's worth the while, worth the trouble to go through to obtain a concealed carry permit with all the restrictions they have that's placed on them now.
Well, I mean, that's your opinion, and you're definitely entitled to it. I think that having a permit, those transitory periods between your car and your home, I don't always want anybody – I don't want people to know I have a firearm. So if I can carry it concealed when I'm outside of my car and not in my home – you know, therefore I don't allow people to know that I have a firearm, and therefore either not be a mark for them to want to take my firearm from me, or, you know, I don't think it's necessary for people to know I have a firearm. So,
buddy, I'm glad you called the show, and thanks for listening. And Dave, before we let you go and get to our next break, here's a text that asked the question, Scoot, I own a business that I have to bring opening cash to every day. I carry a gun with the money from my truck to my business. Do I need a CNC permit?
No, he doesn't, because open carry is legal in the state of Louisiana, and in that circumstance, I'm all for open carry.
How easy is it to just go buy a gun?
It's pretty easy. I mean, everybody is subject to a background check. It's other than that, it's not very difficult.
And you don't have to take a class.
You don't have to take a class.
Should gun owners be required to take classes?
I don't think so, but you know, I could understand why some people might argue that point. I think that people should want to know more about their firearm. I'm often amazed how many people don't even read their owner's manuals. But
boy, that's an honest answer from somebody who would benefit from everybody having to get a permit if they own a gun.
Right. Yeah, I'm for the right to keep and bear arms. But at the same time, like I always say, you should have the proper knowledge, skills, and attitude if you are going to own a firearm.
Dave Newman is with Concealed Carry NOLA, NRA Certified Pistol Instructor, registered with Louisiana State Police. Dave, as always, thanks for being on our show.
Thanks, Scoot. And if I can make one more point real quick. I want to make this point about stand your ground. Stand your ground laws go hand in hand with the presumption of innocence. Without stand your ground, a defender is forced to prove that retreat was not possible, entirely negating the presumption of innocence that we all should have.
Good point. I'm Scoot, in for Spud on WWL.